Now to some real bloodletting. Red Sox versus Yankees. But let's try to keep it businesslike. The deal that this week sent all-time, all-star shortstop Alex Rodriguez from the Texas Rangers to the New York Yankees may not seem to make economic sense at first Red Sox scarlet blush. The Texas Rangers, who signed Mr. Rodriguez to the largest contract in baseball history, will continue to pay nearly half of his salary. Yet the Rangers will still save money to sign new players. The Yankees' payroll will increase to $187 million a year, yet they're still making money. Ticket sales for the team have doubled since Mr. Rodriguez pulled on pinstripes, and the Yankees continue to make more money than any other club in baseball. Our friend from the world of business, Joe Nocera, executive editor of Fortune magazine, joins us from New York. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Well, Red Sox fan though I am, I'm happy to be here.
It has been a painful week for you, and we'll try and keep this business-like.
Yes, we will.
So why did the commissioner of baseball say no to a deal that would have sent him to Boston, but yes to the Yankees?
Well, actually, the commissioner wanted him to go to Boston, but the players' union is the one who said no to him coming to Boston because Alex Rodriguez was so desperate to get out of his contract that he was going to give the Red Sox back. He was going to allow the contract to be reduced by an amount roughly $28 to $30 million that the players' union found acceptable. I mean, this is high finance, Scott, this stuff.
Gosh. Now, explain, please, the economics to us. How do the Rangers come out ahead if they're still paying a significant portion of his earnings?
Well, let's start with the earlier Red Sox deal for Rodriguez. The Red Sox were going to trade Manny Ramirez, who has the second highest contract in baseball, $20 million a year, for Rodriguez, who has the highest contract in baseball, $25 million a year. So there was going to be a $5 million differential for the Rangers. That was not enough for them, and they wanted the Red Sox to kick in more. The Red Sox wanted to reduce the contract, and so that deal eventually fell apart. Now, look at the economics of the Yankees deal. They're trading Alfonso Soriano, who makes $5.4 million a year, for Rodriguez, who makes $25 million. So suddenly the spread is $20 million in favor of the Rangers. A year. Okay?
Okay. I follow that.
Now, from the Yankees' point of view, Aaron Boone, who was the incumbent third baseman who got hurt and whose injury started this whole thing, he will be out of a job. So there's another $5 million they save. Then Texas is going to pay the Yankees, over the course of the contract, $67 million. So the Yankees actually come out of it without spending that much more money. And the Rangers, despite handing over $67 million to the New York Yankees, the richest team in baseball, come out $100 million ahead that they can now spend on other players and perhaps get themselves out of last place.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to get your brain around it.
Yeah. I feel this is a time on the weekend to try and introduce a sense of proportion. Just economically, is anyone worth this kind of money to a baseball team?
Well, actually, no, which is an interesting thing for a capitalist to say. The fact of the matter is that this $25 million salary has been onerous to the Texas Rangers and to Alex Rodriguez. It has saddled Texas with a player who's so expensive that they couldn't make the team better in any other way. And it saddled the player with a contract that was so huge that nobody else would take him, even though he's the best player in baseball.
Yeah.
That's what's so incredible about this. I'll give you another example of how out of sorts this is. I don't know if you remember this, but earlier this summer, the Red Sox, in an effort to get rid of Manny Ramirez's contract, of which $100 million remains, put him on waivers, allowing any other team to pick him up simply for the price of his contract. They wouldn't have to give anything else up. Nobody took him. Constructing a baseball team today is a complicated business, and it requires real thought as to, you know, what your total payroll is going to be, how much you're going to pay your superstars, how little you can get away with paying other people, and it's really like a three-dimensional chess, and this A-Rod deal is a really classic example of that, in which both sides come out ahead, actually, but the sums of money involved are just monumental, and you're thunderstruck when they're done.
There is more economic news. Jeffrey Skilling in handcuffs this week, indicted in federal court on 42 criminal counts, including conspiracy and fraud. Why do you think this case took as long as it did to finally result in a charge?
Well, two reasons. The first is, as in every kind of complicated white-collar case, they have to start low with the small fry and move their way up the ladder. And, you know, the small fry don't know what Skilling did, and you have to get to Andy Fastow or several people below him who can really tell you, yes, Skilling was involved in this deal. Yes, Skilling knew about that. And so it's taken a long time to do that. The second reason, to be blunt, is they had to change their theory of the case along the way, which people don't really realize. But originally, they thought, oh, a lot of these deals are so illegal on their face that, of course, we'll be able to put these people in jail quickly. As it turns out, many of these deals fall in the gray area. There are accountants who said they were okay. There are lawyers who said they were okay. So the current theory of the case is it doesn't matter if this deal or that deal is illegal or not. They painted a portrait of a company that was a total fraud, and that is illegal. And once they got to that point, then they could get an Andy Fastow, and then they could get a Jeff Skilling.
Joe, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Joe Nocera, executive editor of Fortune Magazine.